look who's here. Sandra, the plant lady and the plant rant. Good morning, Sandra.
Good morning. Happy New Year, everyone. It's the first Friday and the first plant rant of the new year, so yay.
Yeah, really.
Bob had his doubts. He didn't think that I'd
I thought you might not survive a big party or something. You
know? Yeah. Just getting crazy.
I know.
You know, did a little dancing in the kitchen. We got a really nice wood floor. It makes a perfect dance floor. There was little, you know, boogieing going on. But
well, sure. But you got to do that in celebration of the year.
And I put on a kind of sparkly sweater over my comfy pants. So, you know, I'm a little festive. I think I had earrings in, too.
Ooh. Went way overboard, huh?
Yes.
So, Sandra, how many plant rants have we done now? Because this is the first one of a year. How many years have we been at this?
The first one was June of 2018.
Oh, my.
And we haven't missed even on the day after 4th of July and New Year's Day, we haven't missed a single one.
Wow, how about that?
Oh.
Well.
And it was been, you know, when we were able to have, when I was meeting you in studio and we were having guests, that was a lot more fun. And that was perfect for the winter because there's, you know, not a lot of gardening going on outside right now, but some indoor gardening can be happening. But so I think today for the first day of the year, we're just going to have a little more fun and a little probably less information than some of the shows. But hopefully people will still learn a few things anyway. I do try to you know, pass on some education a little every time anyway.
Yep, a little worthwhile education.
So, what a beautiful day. I have to say, the frost is even better today than it was yesterday. So I hope everyone can at least sit in a sunny window, if not get outside, because it is absolutely, and if you're in a low spot, more of a valley where you're not getting that frost, take a little drive today and get out where you can see it.
It's beautiful.
It is just gorgeous.
This is one of the reasons we live in this part of the country, is because that happens at certain times of the year. It just gets beautiful.
Heck yes. Well, and that's where I need to be in the seasons. I love fall, and I love seeing the frost and the trees in the winter. And pardon me. But winter with snow is definitely a little more. Like right now we have like just a really nice amount of snow. And how about the timing? We had it just in time for Christmas.
For a late Christmas,
If we're going to focus on our gratitudes for 2020 and remember some of the positives, I'd say snow for Christmas was definitely one of them. And like we weren't going anywhere, so it didn't matter. We didn't have to drive anywhere or anything.
Yeah. It made for a good Christmas in a year when everybody had to stay in anyway.
Yeah.
So I mean, it maybe it had a little something to do with drawing us a little closer.
Right on. And it's just beautiful.
It is.
I don't want to get too off track here, but I guess why we're talking about how gorgeous it is. I mean, if you're able to get outside, do it. I mean, there's skiing, there's hiking, there's snowshoeing. I was pretty much just hiking, and now that the snow's gotten quite a bit deeper, I did strap on my snowshoes. Sometimes the snowshoes are like more work, but now that the snow is deeper, but I've been feeling, and I think just for everyone, for mental health, you know, we have these short days, we're very far north. I mean, even if you get sun, it's not always enough for what we need. You don't have a lot of skin exposed as far as getting your D3.
Sure.
I highly recommend a high dose supplement of D3 in the winter. That has really helped.
Yeah.
And just getting outside if you can, if you're able to. And I've been walking every day, and that exercise too is just really important for our mental health and getting outside. And my family now, we've been starting, and this started, well, it was kind of right around Thanksgiving, but then Thanksgiving week was hunting season, so we kind of had to take a break because we live on a very large property, and there were several hunters out there, so it's not a good time to be getting out into the woods. But since then, we've walked pretty much almost every evening. We've started to take an evening walk, and then now that, pardon me, I apologize, everyone, I'm having a little congestion this morning. And then Ryan has got some cross-country skis, so he's been skiing. Uh-huh. So there's been some days that we've been out twice in a day, you know, getting out skiing during the day and, you know, now hiking, snowshoeing for me, and then again with our evening walk, and it's been fun. Oh, and then we have this pond on the far end of the property, and before all the snow came, when we just had that little dusting, we had great ice, and we were out there and did some boot hockey and
fun just, stuff.
Yeah, and it's not even like you need the skates, but you can, and you can use anything. You can use a ball, or if you don't have a puck. One year we played with a roll of tape and some broom handles. You don't need fancy equipment.
Well, you make the best of what you got. And,
well, yeah.
And being lucky enough to have a pond, I mean, wow.
Yeah, it was very cool. Now there's a lot of snow, and when the snow came, it kind of got slushy.
Oh, yeah.
Underneath, so I'm not sure we may be doing driveway hockey now instead of the pond. But it was still nice, and it just was a good way just to get out again. You know?
Get the exercise.
And we live in this great, there's the Stower Lakes Trail. There's the Balsam Branch. You know, if people like to ski, they groom those trails, and there's lighted paths, and I think it's lit to like 11 o'clock at night.
Yeah, I think out of D.D. Kennedy or someplace like that, yeah.
Oh, and D.D. Kennedy, too, has got some nice trails.
Sure, and I got a little notice from William Johnson up at Frederick. He said there's a trail up there. I forget what it's called now, but it's for classic and regular skate skiing. And it's ready, he says, so I guess all the trails are ready.
Yeah, it's really nice. It's really nice. And one thing is, you know, like I don't cross-country ski. I don't have equipment, but so you want to watch. I know that like Balsam Branch has some snowshoeing. You just really want to be aware, because like when they've groomed for that track and for the skate skiing, you want to be respectful to the skiers. But we certainly, there's lots of great places. We were gifted, I think one of my favorite gifts this year, we were given a Wisconsin State Park pass for 2020.
Oh, all right.
You know, and we live so close, you know, to interstate, and, you know, when you travel, we go, you know, when we head up north, we always go to these parks, and it'll be nice now with the sticker to just be able to pull in and not fill out a form or spend the money or whatever it'll be.
Yeah.
So looking forward
What a nice gift.
It was great.
Yeah. Was it a surprise?
Yeah. And a lot of times in the past, we've bought in Minnesota park passes. We just, for whatever reason, tend to do more traveling and camping in Minnesota, and then haven't spent the money in the past to have both. So this year it'll be nice to have that Wisconsin permit.
Absolutely.
Well, I'm getting ahead. So how was your holiday? Did you have a good holiday?
Oh, holidays are great. And when you work in a radio station, it's even more fun.
Good.
Because there's all of that music and the special programs, and, you know, I almost don't like to have anybody else do it but me.
Well, I have a control issues as well, Bob. Well, you're saying you just enjoy it so much.
I do. Christmas is my holiday, and here we do Christmas the day after Thanksgiving. We start and we increase as it gets closer. Then we have 4 days of Christmas, the 22nd through the 25th, when it's nothing but Christmas and special programs. We do the radio version of A Wonderful Life. Things like that, you know.
It's
just great fun. How about your house?
And then did you put up a tree?
Oh, sure. I didn't put it up. No, Luann did that.
And do you have an artificial or real?
Oh, it's an artificial tree.
Okay.
Yeah. We've had it for years. When we first moved up here, we used to go get a tree, but we found with this radio station, it's hard to find time to go out and look around and all that. So we just got a fake one.
Family did indeed look around. So we actually, it was very cool. We, I know I like to promote the local tree farms and that grow Christmas trees. But what my family did this year was we got grabbing it here. It's a forest products permit. And it's through the state of Wisconsin, through the DNR, and you can apply for these. And for $5, we got a permit, and it was, you know, you have to specify a specific location. So ours was for the Governor Knowles State Forest, which is up in Grantsburg. And it was so fun. So we drove up, and there's, you know, you get a little map, and there's designated areas because there's private property, you know, along that way as well. So you get a little map, and it tells you where you can go, and we drove up. Of course, had to go to Burnett Dairy and and stock up on
if you're
on
in
our,
the neighborhood, you got to go there.
Our cheese supply, that's a whole other thing. We have a cheese addiction in my household. But so we made use of the trip and then went up and just was great. We just spent all this time hiking around in the area that we were. You were able to walk down to the river, and there was like a stream through there, and then there was this old like foundation. We went where there had been this old paint mine. It was really interesting. There's actually pigment in the soil that had been discovered that was used, could be used for paint.
Well, we're crying out loud.
And so there's the old parts of it, like an old like mill, and I mean, it was just it was neat. Of course, three people trying to decide on a tree.
Yeah, right.
So we spent quite a bit of time and did some hiking around, and and it was just lovely. And the weather was perfect. It wasn't too warm, but it wasn't cold. It was just really mild. And and then it was one of the neatest things. So I have an old, I think it's called a bow saw. I meant to look this up before I got on the phone. Well, it was my grandmother's, my dad's mother's. Wow. And, I mean, he can remember being as young as five. I won't age my dad on air, but this saw has been around for a while. And we actually, Ryan and Anthony, cut our Christmas tree down with my grandmother's saw that she used to use to cut wood.
How neat.
To heat the house and stuff when my dad was growing up.
So
that just made it kind of special and
and
really cool. So
what a way to spend a holiday.
It was really fun,
yeah.
And I had not done that before, so I think we'll probably start to do it every year and make that a tradition. It was really nice. So
it reminds me, that story reminds me of when I was a kid, 9, 10, 12, 11 years old, somewhere in there. We lived in Neillsville, which is in Clark County. And around there, there's about 240,000 acres of public land. And back then, there were several areas where there was what my dad called Christmas tree swamps. It's just that there was a lot of Christmas trees in the area. So each year, we'd drive out there and then walk down to where it was because you couldn't drive to it. And that was the same deal. How does a family of four decide which Christmas tree you're going to cut?
Yeah, that must have been a team-building exercise. Right?
It was a case of where, in the end, Dad said, this is it, and that's it, and he cut it.
Right. You know? Well, let me tell you, there's one we have our eye on that, you know, we'll have probably try to get there early next year so we have dibs.
Yeah, the quicker you get there, the better your chances.
Because, yeah, we all had. You know, and what's interesting doing it in the forest, you know, they're a little more Charlie Brownie, so to speak. They haven't been groomed and maintained, and they're not all lush and full, and they're, you know, it's kind of funny because ours looked great, and then you get all these ornaments on it, and they kind of drop down, and you have to make a commitment too. You do not want your tree to dry out at all.
Right.
And ours was drinking a lot at first, and it slowed way down, but it doesn't seem to be drying out. So.
Well, it's finally getting its trunk full, so to speak.
Yes, I think probably in the beginning it really took in a lot.
Sure.
You know, the ground was, although it was kind of moist where it was. But anyway, once it gets cold, it's harder for it to take water. So that was really fun. So, and then I talked last time about the wreaths and the luminaries and the prickly posy having the do-it-yourself kits. So I hope some people got out and did that. We did the luminaries, but then it got kind of warm. So that's the challenge with those. If it's not cold enough, it gets a little bit, then they thaw out.
Yeah.
And we didn't actually use candles in ours. Ours were just kind of more like ice sculptures and had, I had like dogwood like sticking up out of it. And Anthony really got crazy with his. He had all kinds of treasures in his. And then Ryan's been doing in like a 5-gallon bucket.
Ooh.
And he's doing his in layers and using food coloring.
Oh.
And so that's turning out really cool. And now it's colder, so it's been a little bit, that's the challenge.
Yeah.
It needs, especially with the 5-gallon bucket, because that's a bigger area to freeze.
Yeah.
So I hope people, and it's still not too late to do that. I mean, the seasonal decor doesn't have to just be for Christmas or the solstice. It's to get things, just to brighten up our winter.
Yeah, your daily life. That's as important as a holiday as far as that's concerned.
Yes. Well, and I'm finding, too, I love my indoor plants. And it's really cool because I actually have quite a few things that are blossoming right now.
Really?
Cyclamen, which actually, you know, they can go dormant sometimes in the summer and tend to bloom in the winter. So I've got that blooming. We have a cactus that is blooming, and the flowers aren't really showy, but it's still really cool to see. I have a few plants that are budding up that are about to bloom. The hibiscus I'd gotten, a friend dropped off at the end of last year, and that's had quite a few flowers on it. My mandevilla, and they've been lasting more than a day. Usually the hibiscus only lasts a day, and I don't know if it's because it's cool in the room where it is, but the flowers have been lasting several days, so that's been fun.
Oh, yeah.
Some of my tropicals that I had outside that I brought in, that remember I talked earlier in the year about how much leaves they were dropping and how messy they were. And, you know, I kind of finally did cut them back. They're growing like crazy. It's just they must be really happy where they are. And so,
well, there's another thing about that, you know. We've noticed with plants here at the radio station, plants here just flourish. I mean, it's really light in here because there's a lot of windows. But I want to tell you, I think part of it has to do with the fact they listen to music all day.
Oh, for sure. I think that they're, and we could have a whole show on that. Maybe I'll make a note on that for future show. Because there are studies where people have done, like, how plants respond to, you know, well, even being yelled at versus being talked to nice or different types of music.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to make a note here in my notebook.
Future shows.
So get back on track with having some actual topics.
Well, and you know, the thing is, somewhere along the line here, now that we have a vaccine and they're starting to give shots and all that, maybe by summertime, maybe we can come back to doing live stuff.
It would be fun. Well, we are live, just not in person.
Yeah, but I mean have you right in the room here. And a guest, because you always brought really interesting guests.
Thank you. Well, and I really enjoyed that, too. I mean,
well, that's the fun part of radio, is being live. One thing, they can't see you, but they sure can hear you.
Yes.
And it depends on what you say. So anyway, maybe we can get back to something close to normal by summertime.
Yeah, and really if I can find a person who's done research on plants and music, we'll have them on the air.
That'd be a good idea.
Otherwise, you'll just have to put up with me
researching
it myself, or researching other people's research and see. So another great way to enjoy winter, I just really want that to be the key, because January for me in the past has been has always been the one of the harder years of the
It's kind of a drag.
So I'm just trying to like get everybody going into January, like feeling good. And aside from trying to walk every day and getting outside if you're able and enjoying, I mean, we've been blessed with some sunny days. I think that's huge, too, getting that sunshine. But feeding the birds.
Ah, yes.
Oh, and they eat a lot in the winter. But, you know, you can get back sunflower seeds, you know, pretty cheap. There's Kent's Wild Bird Store right on 8 and 65. I know co-op on the south end of Amory's got some good bird seed selection there and some nice feeders. But I love feeding the birds. And we have had so many cardinals. And that red in the winter is just so gorgeous.
It's bright.
It is just amazing. And with the white background, like now we've got all that frost out there.
Yeah.
But feeding the birds. And then a tip, when you bring your... If you have a live tree, when you bring your tree outside, it's great to put it, like, in the bird feeding area, even if you just lay it on the ground. Like, our tree was taller than what we could have in the house, and so even just the part we cut off, I put out there. And the birds love to perch in there and roost in there, and it gives them a little shelter near the bird feeding area.
Sure.
So you can take your old tree when you're done with it and give it new life. Another thing you can do with your Christmas tree is trim the branches off. Now, right now, we have a pretty good layer of snow, which is going to be the best mulch, the best mulch for our perennials that are out there.
Uh-huh.
But you can cut those boughs off with the loppers and spread those out, too, for some extra protection. And one thing that's nice about the boughs is you can just, you know, it's easy to just lift them off in the spring if you have some of those bigger, longer branches. I was thinking of putting some, we had a nice area with a lot of parsley which sometimes can make it through the winter. And I was thinking of experimenting with cutting up, putting a bunch of boughs over that and seeing if I could maybe get that to
So do you, when you feed the birds, do you keep a little ledger or note of different kinds of birds you see?
I used to. When I very first started birding, I had my bird book, and I would always write, like, the date in there when I saw a new bird.
Oh, yeah.
So most of my things that I've kept track of were and the first time I saw a bird. And then I actually, in college, had taken a bird banding class, which was really cool. I had went, well, what Century College is now, it was Lakewood at the time when I was doing my just my generals. And there was a beautiful nature area behind on the campus.
Oh.
And a local woman who was a bird bander would come and do the class. And it was really neat where you, you know, you catch the bird, so to speak, and you band it and you take notes. And, and it was really, that was very cool. So now I don't take as many notes as what I used to.
Yeah. Do you have an idea of how many different varieties you see?
Oh, there's a lot.
Yeah, for
sure. And
then
seasonally, too. Like right now, the juncos are out there, but you don't see them all year round. I mean, you get the migratory birds that come through.
Sure.
I love seeing the pileated. I don't have a tray feeder, which they tend toward. But he does come and pick at the tree sometimes, but I love seeing those. They're just like prehistoric birds.
they're big.
They're very large.
Yeah.
They sound very cool. So
that's just one of the many things you can do in the wintertime if you're into that.
Well, yeah, and even like that's something that if you're not able to get out, you can find a nice spot in your house where you can set them outside the window where you can see them.
Sure.
I don't recommend getting things too close to the house because you wind up with mice. still can be an issue, but getting it for you know a little further out but somewhere where you can see it. I have mine by the kitchen window is the main viewing, and there's one spot from the living room. But I love when I do the dishes. It's so great to be able to look out and
watch the birds.
See them out there.
So when you have the bird feeders out there, do you get other visitors than birds because of it?
You know, it hasn't been too bad. In the summer, we had a lot of squirrels. Right now, there's like one gray squirrel, but in the summer, there was a lot of chipmunks and squirrels. And our chickens, when the chickens are out, the chickens like to come and eat under there, too. But now the birds, the songbirds have gotten used to the chickens now, and they haven't been inhibiting the eating as much.
Yeah,
but for a little while, that was like, oh, come on. You know, I mean, I know you guys are birds, but not quite. We already feed you. You know?
There you go.
Yeah, but
you don't have to come.
The chickens are entertaining, too, actually. The chickens are pretty fun to watch as well, so.
Well, I have to say, though, it sounds to me a little bit like Sandra is easily entertained.
Hey, I'm not sure what you mean by that, but
well, I mean, if
there's
you're
nothing
if,
wrong with that. This way,
no,
I've been home since
not.
March. I haven't gotten too restless this way. You have to enjoy what you have.
You do, absolutely.
Oh.
And that, you know, even for people who live alone, it seems to me, if you were able to watch birds, feed the birds, do those things like that, this loneliness that people are talking about because of being confined should alleviate a little bit.
Well, you're engaged in living things. It's taking care of the plants, too. I mean,
yeah.
That was one
of
my shows, I think, last spring.
Yep.
When I at the end of last winter, when I talked about the benefit of plants and green things in your house, and you know that being a crazy plant lady is actually a good thing because having those living things around you make you feel good, and it's something to take care of. And and the beauty of plants is they're way more forgiving and resilient than say pets. If you're not one to remember to feed something every day or water something every day, the plants are a little more forgiving. So
Do you I know it's only January and barely January, but when do you start thinking about, well, spring is coming and I got all this stuff I'd like to plant or do?
Well, winter is a great time for planning.
Yeah,
you know, this is the time when you think like, okay, what in my garden had some, you know, did I have fall color? Do I need more of that? Do I have, you know, if you want to start feeding the birds, maybe you want to start thinking of some trees and shrubs that provide fruit and shelter and or good bird nesting. You know, a lot of evergreens are really neat and easy because they're not messy. They don't have the fruit, but the birds love to nest in those. So there's some globe spruce and some things like that that make great bird habitat. Or there's serviceberry, which gives you, you know, spring flower and fruit that the birds will eat. They're not messy because the birds pretty much just pig out on them. Beautiful fall color. You know, there's black chokeberry, which also is good color and food for the birds. There's viburnums, which I just love, and get good red fruit on those. So it's a good time to start planning your garden. It's a little early if you do seeds, unless if you have an area where you can continue to grow things inside.
I was thinking
it's a great time for planning.
I was thinking more of the planning, but then if you're someone who hasn't done that before, and all those things that you just mentioned, there are people that have never heard of all that stuff. Where do you start? How do you get an idea?
Well, you get a book, or you call an expert, or you email me at plantrant93.1@gmail.com. We should make sure to put that in there. If people have questions or are wondering where to start for planning things, they can certainly send me an email or get a hold of me through the station, too. So.
Yeah, because it seems to me that there's probably a lot of, I would imagine younger people anyway, who didn't grow up on a farm, who are thinking, boy, that'd be pretty cool in my backyard, but where do I start?
Well, and I think last year it sounds like the nurseries were super, super busy. Like people were getting into it because they were home, and it's a way to enjoy your backyard. And I just, you know, you start with thinking about your space. Functionality is the main thing, maintainability. All those things. But, yeah, I could do maybe I'll make a note of that, too, to do a like a landscape design talk. And I could talk about the principles of design.
You know, and I would imagine that some of that is going to depend upon just the soil you have in your yard or potential garden.
Well, and the plant selection is actually the kind of the last thing that you do. So it's laying it out, making sure it's functional, maintainability, and your plants are really one of the last things. And then with that, you're looking at your light requirements and what your soil's like, and then finding, you know, the plants that are going to fit, that opportunity. You know.
So
well, I want to take a little. I haven't done this in a while, and I just love this little book. So I'm going to read a little section. I actually had a few things I was going to read and more stuff, but now I'll do that next month, I guess. So you ask, and actually this fits right with your question, how a man becomes a gardener. And this is from The Gardener's Year, Carol Capek, one of my faves. Odd as it may appear, a gardener does not grow from seed, shoot, bulb, rhizome, or cutting, but from experience, surroundings, and natural conditions. When I was a little boy, I had, towards my father's garden, a rebellious and even vindictive attitude because I was not allowed to tread on the beds and pick the unripe fruit. Just in the same way Adam was not allowed to tread on the beds and pick the fruit from the tree of knowledge in the Garden of Eden because it was not yet ripe. But Adam, just like Adam, picked the unripe fruit and therefore was expelled from the Garden of Eden. Since then, the fruit of the tree of knowledge has always been unripe. While one is in the prime of youth, one thinks that a flower is what one carries in a buttonhole or presents to a girl. One somehow does not rightly understand that a flower is something which hibernates, which is dug round and manured, watered and transplanted, divided and trimmed, tied up, freed from weeds, and cleaned of seeds, dead leaves, aphids, and mildews. Instead of digging the garden, one runs after girls, satisfies one's ambitions, eats the fruit of life, which one has not produced oneself, and on the whole, behaves destructively. A certain maturity, or let us say paternity, is necessary for a man to become an amateur gardener. Besides, you must have your own garden. Usually you have it laid out by an expert, and you think that you will go and look at it when the day's work is over, and enjoy the flowers, and listen to the chirping of the birds. One day you may plant one little flower with your own hand. I planted a house leek. Perhaps a bit of soil will get into your body through the quick or in some other way and cause blood poisoning or inflammation. One claw and the whole bird is caught. Another time you may catch it from your neighbors. You see that a campion is flowering in your neighbor's garden and you say, by Jove, why shouldn't it grow in mine as well? I'm blessed if I can't do better than that. From such beginnings, the gardener yields more and more to this newly awakened passion, which is nourished by repeated success and spurred on by each new failure. The passion of the collector bursts out in him, driving him to raise everything according to the alphabet, from Acania to, oh boy, look out, people, from Acania to Zoschinaria.
Woo.
Then a craze for specialization breaks out in him, which makes of a hitherto normal being a rose, dahlia, or some other sort of exalted maniac. Others fall victims to an artistic passion and continually alter and rearrange their beds. My friend Julie's like that. Devise color schemes, move shrubs, and change whatever stands or grows, urged on by creative discontent. Let no one think that real gardening is a bucolic and meditative occupation. It is an insatiable passion, like everything else, to which a man gives his heart. So, if people are thinking of becoming a gardener, getting their landscaping done, this was your warning.
Yeah.
It's highly addictive.
Yeah, which is a good thing. And we're out of time, so
I hate to say it. Well.
But we'll do it again next month.
We will, and I still had stuff, so I'll have a head start now for for next time.
Your planning won't take so long for next time.
Yeah, you asked what I did on New Year's Eve. I got ready for the show.
Ah, see.
And cleaned my bathroom.
Boy, what a combination. Thanks a lot, Sandra.
Oh, thanks, Bob.
Have a happy
New Year, everyone.
Bye-bye. It is 9:31.